like to welcome you again here to the Calvary Baptist Church, and I'm glad you're able to join us. What a message we have today. We are making our way through the book of Revelation, and we have come to chapter 17. Not always the easiest chapter to go through. We're going to be looking at Mystery Babylon. And at the end of it, we're going to see how our own world has gone absolutely mad as well. But this woman, we're going to learn who she is. Scripture speaks about her, and it says various things, but one of them, it talks about her. She was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth.
Wow, what a title.
Well, we'll learn who she is and what will manifest itself in that last day, during that time of the tribulation period. We will discuss even some aspects, some forms of it has been throughout the history of mankind and how it will culminate into that great day. And Scripture gives us a good number of clues. And so I trust it'll be helpful, interesting. And, you know, when you go through the book of Revelation, because some people say, oh, this is a hard book. It's also those who read it, those who study it, have been promised in this book that you'll have a blessing. And so, you know, this is a promise from our Lord. And so as we go through it, I trust that it will be helpful and interesting to each and every one of you today. I just want to start off with just the idea that we live in a world that is really changing at an alarming rate. First, it's changing in terms of knowledge. Buckminster Fuller was a man who created what they called the knowledge doubling curve. You know, he had noticed at the end of the 19th century, human knowledge was doubling at approximately every century. And so every 100 years there seemed to be a doubling of human knowledge. By the end of World War II, knowledge at that point was doubling every 25 years. And today, now, it's not as simple as what Buckminster initially laid out, because so many knowledge now moves at different growth rates in different arenas. For example, nanotechnology. Knowledge is doubling every 2 years in nanotechnology today. It may change. There is a synergy where everything will eventually almost change every day. But right now, they're saying it's about every 2 years. Clinical knowledge is changing about every 18 months. Human knowledge is changing or doubling every 13 months. And IBM now has this what they call to build out the Internet of Things. It says it will lead to the doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. Now, that statistic I just gave you is 4 years old. So I couldn't find more current ones, and so knowledge probably is even happening at a more rapid pace. But this is, we live in an explosion of knowledge, which is affecting so much, so many changes. Changes are happening geographically. If you haven't noticed, there's 25 new nations in the world in the last 25 years. And I'll give you a few of them. You know, they have the Czech Republic, East Timor, Slovakia, Serbia, Bosnia. You know, all those within the last 25 years, they came in. And there's others. I mean, just geographically, there's changing because of wars and because of whatever else has been happening. And then economically, I mean, I have lived through this age of economic change that is just staggering. I can remember as a kid talking to my parents about, I was in college, talking about getting a credit card. Now, that was just like staggering. Because, you know, the first credit card came out in 1951. And it was the Diners Club, and it was just for the elite. And that was just about all it was. And then later on, when probably in the 60s, you know, credit cards were just beginning. You got a gas credit card, and that was the big thing, you know. And then what do we have? We have credit cards. Well, that's kind of morphed beyond credit cards in our day. You know, we have entire countries now that have gone digital. You know, we have Sweden and Denmark almost completely digital. Others that are moving, China's thinking about moving toward all that if they have not already accomplished it. And then we have not only instead of debit cards, we have PayPal, and we have these apps on our phone and Venmo that you can just exchange money just instantly to your friends, and on and on and on it goes. Whew. That's changing. They're even talking about the digital currency coming up. Third, there's change in world religions. I mean, just think of all it's the Wiccans and Islam and the declining of Christianity globally that's happening. I mean, these things are real. These are not fictitious stuff. I mean, it's scary, the change even within our own country. And then finally, things are changing politically, you know, and it seems like the globe is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and then the push, you know, trying to get toward more global economics and business. And, you know, the business world, I mean, Apple doesn't look at 360 million people and says we're just going to service 360 million people. They're looking at the 7.7 billion people in this world, and they're saying that's our market. America is tiny compared to the rest of the world. You know, who cares about America? You know, and that's all the businesses are looking at those things. Which begs the question, where in the world is this world? Where is this world heading? Well, in our passage here today, we're going to learn something about that, some of the apparatus, because there's two aspects of it. The religious part of that, chapter 17. The economic, political aspect of it, chapter 18. And there's mysteries that have been described in scriptures that we should know these are ahead. You know, the mystery of iniquity. And it talks about that, and that is the revealing of the Antichrist that one day will come, and the wickedness, the growing wickedness of the world that's the mystery of iniquity, which is talked about in Scripture and unveiled. Something that was hid in the past now is being made manifest, and we understand these things like never before. The mystery of Israel's blindness, because why has Israel been blind for these last two millenniums? And it explains, because it's been hid, now it's being revealed, and we understand these things today. Well, we have the mystery of Babylon, and hopefully I'm going to make it kind of clear how it is unveiling and manifesting itself right before our eyes, in real life, in real time, in our day. So the world, let me preface it, this mystery Babylon, the world one day will move into a global empire that will be in total revolt against God. And we're going to see this when we're getting to chapter 17. In other words, the world will become so filled with anti-biblical rhetoric and teachings, and violence will sweep through this world. The world leader is going to rise up, and we recognize that. That is the Antichrist one day. And literally he will be filled with Satan, and it's just going to be an example. This isn't the first time this is going to show up. Listen, these manifestations have been happening throughout the ages. It goes all the way back to Babel, way back, you know, in the Sumerian period, all the way up in different empires, all the way up, and now it's going to fully manifest itself in this last day. So we're going to be looking at these things when we're getting into these particular passages. Ultimately, you know, this false religion is going to be an essential part of the Antichrist manifesting within the final world. And this is that empire we'll see. So some examples of this foreshadowing. Let's just give you a little sampling. We're going to actually have some picture graphs. I like that, you know. Adult flanograph happens behind me every once in a while. We'll do some of that to show some of the contemporary manifestations of it. But, you know, listen, when the Quran is read in the Vatican every single day now, that kind of concerns me. Evangelicals, Hindus, and Wiccans, and Catholics, and Buddhists, and Shamists, and other groups are gathering on a regular basis together celebrating. I was going to show a picture of actually 3-in-1. It is a movement that's happening, or the One Chapel. It's based on the Abrahamic covenants, and where Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, they're actually building their own church in Germany, and they're celebrating, and all these, they believe it's just one, and they have three different compartments where they worship, and then the central worshiping section where all three of them come together. That is sweeping the world as we speak today. You can look it up on the internet. I actually, all the stuff that I talk about, contemporary times, this week I'm going to put up where you can find all that information. It's not like I'm making this stuff up. I mean, these are reliable sources, not separate kind of shadow sources. You know, these are major avenues in which this information comes from. It's real stuff that's literally happening in our world. And so our world is moving in a mad, crazy state to something that we don't even understand. And it's part of what we're going to see here with this mystery Babylon. And we'll understand hopefully more about it. Chapter 17, if you're not there in the book of Revelation, it's an interlude where John is now showing us this religious Babylon. And let me read here, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the waters." And so, you know, it's depicted, you know, as a woman that is sitting upon, you know, coming out of the water. She's actually going to be depicted riding a beast in water, and as she's rising up, and it's going to be an awful thing. Look at verse 2. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Now, I hope you didn't miss this in verse 2. It talked about the kings of the earth, and then it talks about the inhabitants of the earth. They have been so intoxicated with this thing that this woman is providing that they're, and it's fornication now. It is something that is, when you're talking about spiritual fornication, you're talking about, here's God, and they have departed from God, and they are unfaithful to Him. That is called, this unfaithfulness is called fornication from God. And so the kings, as well as the people, have gone off, departing from God into all kinds of vile kinds of worship and thinking and action. And so this harlot here is just a picture of this false religion that is mixing everything together, that is drawing the world and the world leaders away from the true and living God. You know, there's a lot of things that religion, you know, can do that governments can't do, and armies, you can conquer people, but you know, you can't conquer their hearts. But when you get the religions and you get people chasing after their passions and their desires, their heart starts changing. So that's why you always find religion and you find government, sometimes they're merging together to move the people in a false way. Notice something about this in the latter here, part here, verse 1. It says, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." And so he is literally going to be explaining some things about this woman who has her alliances with the unredeemed, and it's also going to be with what we can see is this beast of some sort. Drop down to verse 15. Notice what it says here. "And he said unto me, The waters which thou seest, which thou sawest, were the whore sitting, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So whatever this alliance is, this is going to affect globally nations in this world. She's seducing kings, she's seducing people. And so this woman who is sitting upon many waters shows this worldwide religion that is sweeping the entire planet. Something else you can see here in verse 3. So we get a little more detail when you get to verse 3. It says, "And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemies." So we know it's religious, especially because it's blasphemous. And she's riding this scarlet beast, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, I'll stop right here. So this woman is seen, is riding a beast, and it has these seven manifestations coming off the head of it, seven heads that come off this beast. And this beast describes a godless kind of kingdom. Now, I just want you to keep your finger here. I want you to go back to chapter 13. Chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. I want you to look at verse 1 and 2. Just so you get a picture of this beast, because he's consistent in explaining, and so when we understand who this beast is, it's going to really help us to understand this woman and her reach. Starting off here in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." So it seems like the same one. Verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." And so, picture now, the body of the beast is an amalgamation of different, you know, kingdoms. You know, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and it's amalgamation. But its head has all these different heads that come off this particular beast. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, we're going to go there in a few minutes, but hang on, he's called a dreadful beast. So this kind of manifestation, it seems to be a government, is an ugly, vile kind of government, and this woman seems to be riding upon this government. I want you to go to chapter 17 again. Look at verse 7. And it says here, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns." So I'm going to tell you about this woman, and I'm going to tell you about this particular beast. Drop down to verse 9. Notice what it says here. "And here's the mind which hath wisdom." So if we're going to understand it, here's the mind for us. This is the wisdom behind it. "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Now it's going to talk about this beast, that this woman first off starts off with the beast. And he says the seven heads that you see here are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Okay, so what are those mountains? Well, when we go through Scripture in some places, such as in Jeremiah and Daniel and Zechariah, you'll find mountains often represent kingdoms. And so the women are passages sitting on seven mountains. You know, some people say the mountains they refer to, well, Rome has mountains, seven mountains around it. Maybe it's Rome. I don't think so. I think what we're talking about, her controlling influence over seven kingdoms. And the reason why I'm saying that, because he begins to lay out some things about these kingdoms and which she is sitting on. Look at verse 10. I think it kind of helps us here. He says, "And there are seven kings." Oh, hang on. To have these heads now are there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the others yet to come. I mean, so, you know, to have a king, you've got to have kingdoms, you know, over here. And so it explains something about this. It says five of those kingdoms that this woman has been riding upon have already fallen. Well, if it's kingdoms, then you go all the way back, and I know Daniel mentioned some of them. Daniel starts off with Babylon, and he also then talks about Medo-Persia, and then he talks about Greece, then he talks about Rome, which is... But there were some even before that. If you go all the way back to the beginning of time, you know, you'll find Egypt and you'll find Assyria. And so many of us believe that, you know, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medo-Persian, and the Grecian empires are the ones that have fallen. This is in John's days. This is looking back. Those ones which this false religion has been writing on, and all those great kingdoms, this false religion has manifested itself and has been ruling and has been vile during that time. And then he says there one is. And so he talks about it in verse 10. He says there are seven kings, five are fallen. And then you notice right there it says one is. Well, that's the one that John is living in. That's one that exists today. And that same false religion that was there back in Babel is the same one that's here in John's day. May have a different name, but it's the same character which is behind that. One is, and he says, and there is yet, right here in the end of verse 10, and the other is yet to come. There's one more to come. He must continue for a short time. In other words, those other kingdoms may have lasted for a couple hundred years. This one, this last one that's going to show up, is going to for a short period of time. That's what he says. Must continue for a short time. And so I think this is what he's talking about here. We're seeing five kingdoms that have come from Babel all the way up until the time of John. One is, that's the one in John's day, is the Roman Empire. And we one that's going to come up in that last day is that rising of that Roman Empire, false Roman Empire, in which the Antichrist himself is going to make himself known. Now, we have a little more information. And I'm glad we have a little more information because he kind of details this here when we get to verse 12. He says, and the ten horns. Now, you remember, a beast with seven heads. And upon one of those heads, not all seven of those heads, you know, but upon one of those heads, and I believe it's the last head, ten horns pop up. So he says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So apparently, this last kingdom, as it rises up, is going to have 10 men that are going to be ruling, you know, this empire. And that's not uncommon. Even in Jesus' day, they had kings, you know, King Agrippa. Though King Agrippa was under who? The emperor. You know, and they had different kings that were ruling in that time. Well, so there are 10 kings over this particular last empire. And he says, but they shall receive power as kings for 1 hour, for a short period of time. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb. So, I mean, it's not a pretty thing, but we're going to see in the last day these 10 kings that are going to rise up, ruling this last kingdom, and we're going to see some things that are actually going to happen to them. We also, this beast is described as red. You know, when we were looking at it earlier, you know, this beast is a scarlet beast. You know, what does red represent? Well, luxury and wealth. Also represents blood. And so, you know, it's going to, because this beast is also going to be responsible for literally murdering many of those that are believers in Christ. And so this beast and its leaders has many blasphemies. They are also, you know, described just short period of time. I want you to keep your finger here. I want you to go back to Daniel chapter 7. We'll come right back to Revelation 17, but just go to Daniel chapter 7 just to see. This is not the only place it's mentioned, because this was prophesied. This was prophesied in the past. And in Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 20, notice what it says here. In fact, I want you to look at the last four or five. Let me do read 19 so you get the whole context. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoureth and breaketh in pieces and stamps the residue of his feet, and of the ten horns that were on his head. So this beast that's going to rise up in the last day is going to be awful, crushing and destroying. And ten horns that were on his head. And of the others which came up, and before whom three fell. In other words, you have all these ten horns, and three of them are going to be torn down. And we're going to find in the midst of those, because seven kings left, and there's an eighth one that's going to move up, that's going to be greater than all of them. Let me read. And it says, and behold, before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. In other words, this is going to be a satanically filled a leader that's going to rise up. He's going to tear down three of those kings, rise up in the midst of it, and he's going to be leading this empire that is going on. I want you to drop down to verse 25. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. It says, and he shall speak many words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times. You know, this is the Antichrist. This is the one that's going to rise up in the last day amongst this empire. And they shall be given into his hands until a times and a times and a dividing of the times. Well, I mean, this is pretty amazing. I just want you to go back to Revelation chapter 13. Just so you see the connection here. Remember, you just read times, times, dividing of times. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. It says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Same thing, times, time, and half a time. 3.5 years. So we can see this connection. This beast that rises up in that last time, you know, its manifestation has been from all the way from the beginning of time, from the Tower of Babel all the way up, all those demonic things that were there, and its manifestation is in different kingdoms. You'll see it all the way from the Egyptian, the Assyrian kingdom, and you'll see it all the Medo, the Persian, the Babylonian Empire. I know I didn't get the order right, but they're all the way up until this time. I mean, ruled by this false religion. Therefore, this woman riding the beast indicates that she is the representation of false religion and is the kind of the cement that and the impetus that is behind these kingdoms altogether. So go to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. We know some things about her. You know, she is beautifully dressed. You know, verse 4, it says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet clothing, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. But she's depicted as rich and royal and alluring the people with these riches, covered with jewels. Success is going to be part of this. And yes, she's going to be spiritually the death to those that will actually follow her. And she's holding this cup of abomination, and the people are going to be drinking it. And I think this is great, but it's going to literally be destructive to them. Her names, verse 5, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. I mean, not a very good thing. This woman is the false religions throughout all the days. Verse 6 tells us this, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. She will be responsible for killing the saints throughout the ages as well. And so John wondered at this woman in verse 7 as he says, and I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. And he begins to describe her as she's riding this false beast, and which was and which is not. I mean, not a very pretty thing, deceiving many. Well, I know her destruction, because notice when we get to verse 16. Let me read. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So at a certain point, what's going to take place is this woman that has been riding the beast all these years, from the beginning of time all the way up, they're going to turn against it, because what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to be manifested as Satan. And instead of just worshiping this, he says, no, worship me alone. And this woman and that whole apparatus then is going to be destroyed. Also, verse 17 says, and God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdoms unto the beast. In other words, to the satanically filled world global leader. That will be her end. Well, so let me give you a few insights here. So in the next few minutes, I want to just kind of apply some of the things that you just saw and heard. Mystery Babylon. You know, there are many views as to where in the world this Mystery Babylon will show up someday. Some say this ancient city of Babylon one day will be rebuilt. Some actually say that. I actually have a library that says this ancient Babylon is going to be there and it's rebuilt. And, you know, when in Iraq they were rebuilding parts of it, they say, oh, here it comes. Others say, no, it's Rome. You know, and they have various reasons. I have another book in my office. It talks about the seven hills, and it's going to be situated there because of false religion and all the other things. And then others say, no, it's going to be a global empire, and it's going to be, UN is part of that. I have another book in my library that talks about UN. And then I have another one saying, no, it's the EU. And on it goes. So, folks, I want you to tell you right now before I show you this next part. I don't know, and nobody knows until it shows itself up. So, what I'm going to show you is just a world gone mad. Though we have similarities, you're going to see aspects of this false world religion and false government worship is rising up even in our day. It does not mean that that is the final form. It's just that men and women have gone crazy. And they're being deceived even in our day. It's frightening to see some of the things that we're actually going to see. So, we can look at, and I thought, how could I do this? I can show you the unification of world religions, and I could do that. And I can show you some of the political, economic, and the ecological things. I can show you stuff that the UN has done. And I thought, I'm just going to stick with one to make it simple because it's manifesting itself in so many different areas. I want to look for a few minutes at the EU, European Union. And the reason why I picked this, because I think the government has just lost their mind. And to make it, and I recognize Brexit, which is happening in Great Britain, and then some of the other countries that are part of the EU, they want to get out of it. And so, who knows, this EU can dissolve. But you remember, they're bound by a currency, they're bound by so many things, it's really going to be a battle. But so I have no idea, but I do know they've lost their mind. And I have to take you all the way back, because Mystery Babylon begins here, and we need to understand a few things first. If you remember, where does all this begin? Mystery Babylon goes all the way back to Babel. And, it's that particular, now this map labels it as Babylon, but where Babylon is where Babel was. And Babylon, which was in Daniel's day, 1600 years before Daniel, they had that Tower of Babel, which was built. Different names for their gods, Manduk, and then you'll find in Daniel's day it was Bel or Baal, but they were the same god. And then later on, when you get into Greece, it's Zeus. Zeus is the same god as Bel. They're equivalent. So even though they have different languages, they're equivalent. And then in Rome, it's Jupiter. Same thing as Zeus. If you go up into the Nordic tribes, it is Thor. Those movies about Thor. Well, that is that god that goes all the way back to Babel. This is one that's being depicted here. And so we also know where that is. It's in Iraq. And you can see this is a little map of, all the areas where, and some people say that's where, the Antichrist will rise out. No, I just think that's where this false religion began. And it has been traced with every single empire. Though their gods may have a different name, it is the same false god throughout all the ages. Well, this is a picture of the Tower of Babel, famous one, probably one of the most famous ones. This artist in particular, he made three different pictures. This is one of the three. One is a little more complete, but I picked this one because this is the one that the European Union likes. And it depicts the Tower of Babel that was done in 2300 B.C. And he was in the 1500s, 1563, Peter... Peter Bruegel the Elder was the one who did this. Now, notice the design. You have to take a few minutes to look at its design. It's crooked. Anybody notice this crooked? Now, the artist, when he did this, I mean, he understood what he was doing. He was an expert in Roman design. He also made the tower after the Roman Colosseum. He does it. We know this. His history is there. He's an Evelyn famous artist. And he deliberately did it on the angle because he was an expert in architecture. The lean gives it just enough that he knew this building would collapse. And the reason why he did this, and this is what he said, all false religions, from Babel all the way up to the Roman Colosseum in Roman times, he sees them as a false government or a government that is building on a false foundation, and it's all going to collapse. That was his thesis. That's when he did this in 1563. I'll document it. I'll put there out online, you know, what he has said. And so that was his purpose when he particularly did this. And he also recognized the gods that were there in Babel, were the same gods that were worshipped in Rome, the same gods, you know, all the way up through time, all false. And of course, they had their, not only the male gods, they also had the female gods, the same with the Queen of Heaven, you know, whether it's Ishtar, whether it's Venus or others, you know, same one, same gods. Well, ironically, you would think this is enough. Ironically, this, on one side you'll see that same picture I showed you. On the other side is a brochure from the European Union. This was a brochure they put out in the 1990s because they're going to build their building. In Strasbourg, France, their parliamentary building was going to be built, modeled after the Tower of Babel. And I'm going to show you the building in just a minute. You'll see it's already built now. They've spent $12 billion building this building. And you can see their slogan, Europe, many tongues, one voice. It's not like, duh, they didn't know what they were doing. And so there's the building today, you know, that is there. It was completed in 2000. And I see Lori's counting the stars. There are 12 stars there, Lori. And the reason why there's 12 stars, these, if you look at the flag, you probably can't see it. The last blue flag on the real side is the star, the flag of the European Union. It has 12 stars. 12 stars represent the Queen of Heaven. They know this. The designer of the flag says that was his intent when he did it. He actually wanted to put the Virgin Mary right in the middle of that, but they wouldn't let him do that one. And I want you to also notice those stars, five-pointed stars. You ever notice usually the tip is going upward? This time it's downward. It's the beard of the goat. It's the satanic symbol. Folks, this is just an example of a world that's gone absolutely crazy. I mean, here are world leaders making this design, and this is what they are doing. And let me tell you something about the Roman Colosseum. Roman Colosseum was commissioned in 70 AD. It was celebrating the destruction of Jerusalem. And they took 60,000 to 100,000 Jews from Jerusalem, and they brought them there to Rome. In 10 years they spent building the Tower of the Roman Colosseum. Where that building is, where the Brussels building is, the EU building, it is close to the site where was the first mass burning of the Jewish people during the Crusades. And they built that right near that. I don't know if they understood those things or not, but to me, you can see that February 14, 1349 is when that first mass killing was taking place. The issue is, our world has gone mad. Shouldn't they know more and better? This is another one of their parliamentary buildings. They're not all in Strasbourg, France. This is in Brussels. This is the woman riding the beast. Hello? Hang on. The woman riding the beast, you would think. Now, it's coming out of myth. I recognize this is Europa riding the bull, the bull is Zeus. Remember, Zeus is Marduk or Bel or Baal. You know, that the same god that, you know, was all the false. Well, you know, he fell in love with a maiden. Her name was Europa. She was a Phoenician maiden. And so he didn't want his wife, his god wife, to get jealous. So he transforms himself into a beautiful white bull. And he appears to Europa. And Europa really is admiring the bull, grabs hold of the horns. And he takes off with her riding on the back into the sea. And so the bull swims the sea and comes to Crete and then manifests itself, himself as, of course, Zeus. And then he brutally rapes her. That is the myth. Well, you would think that's not a very good thing to put in the middle of their, as their thing. And that is their mural. The woman riding the beast, you know, this is on many of their buildings, and riding the beast on the sea. Whoa, hang on. Does not this kind of go back to Revelation chapter 17, the woman on the sea, you know, riding the beast, and the beast, of course, in the end turns and then kills the woman after it reveals itself? It's a world gone mad. You know, sometimes when we read these things and we see this in Scripture, we say, how in the world can any of this come? Like, this is like fantasy. I couldn't make this stuff up. I mean, this is a world, the global world and global leaders that have gone mad knowing some of these things. Listen, when the European leaders were asked, why did you do this? They said, we are going to complete what Babylon did not. Their statement. Folks, we live in a world that's coming apart, and we're getting closer and closer to that last days, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. I don't know when it's going to take place, but I certainly, all it needs is a charismatic leader to come alongside and to organize all these things in all the different areas and however he's going to do that and bring it together. There we are. We live in a day. Boy, pray. Now pray for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because certainly I don't want anyone to go on that last day when this great beast begins to show up in its time. So why don't we pray? Our Heavenly Father,